So there, gentlemen, RBD podcast number three, Lancaster recap. Some of us shot good, some of us sucked. When did we get? We got down there Thursday, right?
Yeah, Thursday, midday.
Midday, went to the shop. I proceeded to buy a new release the second I walked through the door because they had those Scott experts down there and they were kind of like nowhere to be found at the time. So I bought one of the only two they had.
A release you'll never use?
Actually, no. I would have thought that myself too, but actually I did shoot that thing the entire weekend and I still am shooting it right now. I like that.
Still,
And it's everything that I think. It's got the new body of the Micro, but it's got the head of the Ascent, which I like. So I'm able to kind of get it set like my very, very old Longhorn that I've had. Right. And then Dalton bought a new...
Yeah, I bought the new... Well, it's not new anymore, but the new Stan Clicker. Just trying something new.
And you didn't run that down.
No, but I don't think that would have mattered.
Did you buy anything new and run anything down there?
No.
Eli went down with what he came and shot what he had down there.
Exactly.
Sounds like a smart move. I mean, so, but we practiced a little bit on Thursday at the shop and then came back to the showroom. We came back and practiced at the shooting center a little bit later that night, but then we were.
Yeah, but the highlight of Thursday, right, was the infamous cheesesteaks.
Well, the cheesesteaks are always the best part of the weekend. Shout out to Pasquale's. We don't get paid by Pasquale's, but if they want to force feed us cheesesteaks next year when we're down there, that'd be...
Yeah, we'll take some cheesesteaks in lieu of payment.
Yeah,
I got that release on Thursday, and I was shooting good. I mean, I shot it good enough that I thought I was going to shoot well with it on Friday. I mean, there was no reason not to change, right? I mean, I didn't shoot it bad when we were down there at the practice center. Tried a few new bows. Thursday's not a bad day to get down to the showroom because there's no one down there Thursday night. If you want to play with bows or buy releases, Thursday's the day to do it. Because when we went back there Friday, it was a madness. You couldn't get in to get anything. I mean, there was, I don't even know where they find all their employees down there. I don't know how they can round up 105 people to run that event for the weekend, right? I mean, Cannon was down there working, and I didn't even know Cannon works there.
Not to mention all the employees they have over at the venue, right? That are actually running the show.
Yeah,
plus, how many they have on staff at the shop?
Well, we were getting helped by everybody.
Yeah, they had a ton of staff. Me and Dalton
were down there, the guy that was helping us out with releases was like, I'm going to go, you can go back there and look at whatever you want. But I'd pull boxes or something, right? So I thought, all right. Who shot Friday morning that we knew? I don't think I knew. Well, did Caleb and them guys shoot early? Did they shoot the 12:30 line?
They shot the 12:30 line. I think, did Chad?
Chad might have. Did you know anybody that ran that 7 o'clock line early?
No.
I didn't know anybody. I mean, so I didn't see much of that early line. It seemed like the pros, though, they were heavy in them earlier lines, the 7 o'clock line and the 12 o'clock line, because by the time we shot at 4:30, all the pro scores were in, or a lot of them. Yeah. A lot of the guys that already finished in the top 64, I thought they already had. There wasn't much to chase if you were a pro coming into that late line, because almost they all had all their scores.
There were also the lines on Thursday night that ran, right? Those guys, they were pretty full. I don't know who all shot.
Oh, no, we watched some of them lines
on Thursday night.
On Thursday
in fact, because we watched, what's his name, finish up his 660.
Oh, Bodie shot his 660.
Bodie finished up his 660. We watched
it. I mean, that was something that has never, they never had three 660s, right? Before?
No.
I kind of thought the shoot off for it, maybe I didn't understand exactly how they were going to do the 660 shoot off. I didn't know it was just going to be like a one arrow. Is that what it ended up being? It was just a one arrow?
No, they did two ends. So they did two or three ends, right, of score. And then
they did
two ends of score and one closest to.
Was it that way? I thought they. Yeah, I don't know exactly how they did it, but they did at least two ends of scoring.
See, I didn't get to see any of that because I don't know what.
Shocking. Three people that shot 660s all shot 33s.
I was still in line turning in my scorecards.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was, right? Yeah. Because they did it right after our line was over. And I was struggling to get back to watch the shoot-off.
Right.
And I had thought, maybe I was under the impression that it was just like a one-arrow deal, right? Where it was just like, all right, we're going to see who can hammer them inside out. I did not know. So they went two rounds of regular scoring.
Yep.
Yeah, shocking. Like
shocking, right, yeah.
Yeah, shocking. Yeah, three dudes that didn't miss 11s off qualifier had to go to a one-arrow closest to center shoot-off there at the end.
Well, and that was a cool thing, too, talking to Sluzar after the closest to center. He said all three arrows were touching the little crosshair in the middle of the 11. There wasn't a single arrow that was off it.
They said Mateus was inside out.
Mateus was inside out. Bodie was second, obviously, and then Sluzar third. But
I think Jake will take... I didn't get a chance to see him because we didn't stay down there Sunday, but I would like to have talked to him. I think he would have probably traded the 660 shoot-off for the overall win down there. I mean, that kid was dealing all weekend. Did he shoot... How many 10s did he shoot this weekend, that last weekend? One?
No.
Maybe?
Two?
I
know, he missed one. He did shoot a 10 on match day.
In the match day.
Yep, I know that.
Yep.
But I don't know how many he missed on the stage.
I didn't, you know, we were here watching that on Sunday and the TV cut out, and I didn't get to watch Jake finish at the end. So I had to go back and watch. I don't think he missed any. So I think that whatever he missed during the match, because I remember in the match, at one point he was like, it was 65-65 maybe in one of his matches. So he did miss one.
Just enough to wake him up and say, all right, I better start shooting more 11s if like that's possible.
That's his first time winning down there. And I mean, he's been close a lot. That kid shoots really good. I mean, I feel like when he gets kind of hyper-motivated or really focused in, he's a tough nut. But he had a good weekend. I mean, he's had weekends down there, I think, where maybe he hasn't shot as well or has been rubbed in the first round of brackets, right? I mean, so... He shot the 12 o'clock line, 12:30 line, yeah, on Friday. So he went out right before we all ended up going out. Now, I think in hindsight, I think next year we should probably be a little bit more on top of trying to get on that 12:30 line. I think I'd prefer shooting that line next year than waiting all the way till 4:30.
Yeah, for many reasons, for sure. But we dragged our feet.
I don't think it got done that late. We didn't get done as late as we did the year before.
No, I think it moved quicker this year. I think the actual shooting part actually went quicker.
I mean, sitting down to eat
dinner, started half an hour later, too, and got done, I don't think, any later than what we did last year.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, I thought we got done right around the same time, or maybe even a little bit before.
Yeah. Which wasn't bad for starting a half hour later.
No, it just sucks when you're trying to eat dinner at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? So, well, I mean... Or whatever time
I
got out.
I was half hour trying to get out of the parking lot.
You did park in the wrong spot.
I was going to say, we parked around front, and
beneficial. We're going over to the roadhouse, and I messaged Steve, and I'm like, hey, we're in the parking lot. And he says, we're also in the parking lot. And I thought, awesome, we'll go right in. And then he goes, oh, no, we're still at Spooky Nook. And I was like, oh, you're going to be in there. You're not even escaped the parking lot over there yet. Yeah, well, that happens. We'll have to, you'll have to remember next year to go into the backside of the parking lot over there.
Definitely.
So it was nice. Everything started right at, we were all shooting pretty close to each other, I felt like. I mean, I was able to see you from where I was. You were down further. You were down. Yeah, I could still, Dalton was the only one really I couldn't keep tabs on.
I could see you shooting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
I wasn't keeping track of scores, but I see you over there shooting.
I wish what they would do down there is, so I was shooting with some recurve kids, right? So there's not a lot of room down there. For whatever reason, why do they put out two rows of chairs for people to sit on? I think they should just put one.
Exactly.
One row of chairs and then the curtain. Because that other row is waste. No one ever sits there.
No.
Like, no one, there's not enough shooters to sit on them two rows of chairs. And if they're going to, you know, I was trying to think of like how many actual spectators were also watching. They could probably eliminate the first two rows of spectator chairs, move everything back, and then at least give everybody. I mean, I always feel like I am trying to walk a fine maze to get to the line.
Yeah.
Like, are you stepping over a recurve? You're stepping over a little kid, you're not paying attention. There's like a 10-year-old next to you, and you're kind of clobbing over what he's got or whatever. But I mean, that's, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was telling you on the drive home, right? There was three bows that were knocked over three consecutive times in my area because people were just jumping over stabilizers and just not paying attention, and it was really getting old. And thank God I was on the line the one time when they knocked over three bows.
We're down where I was, we ended up folding up the first row of chairs for like every other chair and then just moving them and sliding them on the floor so people could walk back and sit on the rear row.
Right.
Right? And I'm like, you know, it's just, it gives me stress, right? I don't like being that clogged in down there. And it's just one of those things that I can't even like mentally, like that's the one thing down there I think like shuts me down. Like, God, now I got to like, I'm hopping around bows. I got to try to get around these things. But I mean, everybody else kind of deals with it. But I still, it still would give everybody more room. Right? I mean, that didn't, you know, whatever. I sucked down there for the first 30 arrows. I mean, I started out on the top of the bale, and I knew before we even went shooting here how much trouble I was having shooting at the top target, and it continued down there. I don't know if it was just like my back was sore or whatever, but I couldn't get it together on the top. And then I shot good on the bottom when I switched, but by that time it was a day late and a dollar short, you know what I mean? I mean, I still shot a decent round down there, but, you know, I tell you guys all the time, like, I think you need to be practicing 10 points above the cut line or whatever before you go down there for most people,
yeah.
Right? And I was only practicing, like, in the high 40s, 48, 46, 47, so I'm not surprised I went down there and shot a 35 because that's about where I've been practicing, you know what I mean? Sometimes you go down and shoot the best round you've ever shot down there. Like Eli goes down, what, you shot a 53?
Yeah.
Did you shoot any nines in qualification?
Yeah.
A 53 with a nine. That's good shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, like you go down there and deal like that. I mean, your score would have been good enough to finish well into the pro class. I mean, you must have cruised your round pretty good on Friday night. Like, were you getting close to timing out? I can't imagine as fast as you shoot.
No, I'd say, I don't know, we've all seen it probably the past month here, and especially that week prior. I mean, you try, as a competitor, you try not to listen to what's going on around you, but here, going to local tournaments around here, you'd hear, like, I started to hear people, you know, like, he's probably going to make a run. I heard you Wednesday night at Lake. You know, if anyone's going to do it, it was going to be me.
You've been killing it for 3 weeks down there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
and so, I mean, I tried to get down there with not, like, an expectation through the roof. I got there. I had school Thursday, so, I mean, I'm a full-time college student, so...
Cutting trees when it's 5 degrees.
Yeah, I mean,
outside.
I'm still trying. I have a life outside of archery, so like, I couldn't go down Thursday and get a practice there. And my practice 2 hours before I shot, it wasn't awesome.
Did you practice there at the venue? Were
yeah,
you shooting?
I was on the green. I went to the green range. No, years prior, I went upstairs.
Bounces upstairs. Or,
yeah,
it felt like it bounces. Right?
It does. But I thought, like, the lighting's great upstairs. So I went down that green range, and I kind of, like...
Oh, you saw it down there.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And then in qualifying, it just... I just kind of went into that zone.
Yeah, I mean, you went into the zone of whatever you've been doing up here. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't watch any of the score. I didn't have a scoring app going till the very towards the end, when I kind of knew I was kind of out, or where I kind of wanted to see with the live updates where I might have to sit. I was kind of looking for where Dalton was at, and I was kind of looking for where Steve was at. And when I flashed that thing up, and you were way at the top, like with your on pace per arrow, and I was like, oh man, I'm not paying enough attention to Eli down there. He is really shooting well.
I got to like, so I shot a 9 and N6. And I was cruising before I shot that 9. I went first end, I hit three of them. I don't think I touched. I shot three inside.
Did you start on top or bottom?
Bottom.
Yeah, that's a good
play. Yeah. Shot three really good X's. It's kind of like, all right, like, just keep it going.
So
then
do you prefer that way? Do you prefer to not to know what your number, especially shooting the 4 o'clock line on a, you know this is the last line. This is you pretty much know what the number's got to be.
No.
Do you prefer to
I'd
know?
Rather,
or
I'd
or
rather.
Rather not.
I would rather shoot Thursday, the first line Thursday, and throw up a big one, and then have everybody
you
be
gotta,
like, "Okay, that's what we have to
a
match."
Better than like a score chaser.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, you're a little different than me. Like I always pick that line because I think for me, I end up like I feel like I would always end up shooting worse when I'm trying to go out and do a thing, versus knowing I gotta reach a certain score. You know what I mean? But I mean the way you were shooting on Friday, I don't think it would have mattered if you would have came out and shot at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? Like yeah. like. So you shot 9 on and 6.
And then I wasn't close to my 9. It was a 9-8 liner.
That was a good
9. At 2 o'clock. it was more of an 8 than a 9.
Yeah, that's good.
If you're shooting 9, make it a big one.
Yeah, no guts, no glory.
I mean, I was checking scores at the turn, because kind of like you said, is I wasn't really worried about it in the first 30. And then the second 30, I knew I was out of it. And I was like, you know what, I might as well just see where everyone else is at. And I knew you were in like the top 10 last I looked, Eli. And then you must have went on a tear, because I started scrolling down and I'm like, oh, he's not in the top 10.
Yeah, I shot.
Completely like glanced over the fact that you were the number one seed
you
at this point.
Shot 328. I hit 27 in a row.
To make a good run down there, you've got to be able to rattle off 20, 25, like 15, 20. Like you got to be able to go on a tear where you don't drop a single point for 5 ends. Or, you know, you got to be able to shoot a clean block. Right? If you can go 5 ends and shoot 15 X's in a row, chances are you're going to probably make a good run at being somewhere in the cut or near the top. Right? I mean, you know, because if you're not going to be able to survive XX10 down there, because at some point you're going to shoot an 8-9 liner, right, or something like that, or maybe even 2, or I had a couple ends where I went 10X10. Like, you might as well, you know, you go, that kills you right there. You do that twice in the same game or something like that, you're done for. I mean, it depends on what class you're shooting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, well, for me, if 10X10 is not so bad, but yeah, no. For sure, you guys.
Where did you finish in your bracket? 16 or 15?
15th.
15th. What'd you end with?
26.
26.
Yeah, so that's, and I would say shooting with you all winter.
That's
on par for where you've been, right? So you went down there and shot your average, what you shoot in practice.
Right.
And you went down there and did it, and ended up making an
impact. Yeah, I mean, it'd be unrealistic for me to go down there and expect to shoot 10 points above my average.
No, but
I'm gonna shoot way, way above my average at the biggest shoot of the year.
But you could though.
Best scores are up there, but I don't.
What was that guy you shot in the second round of brackets? What was his qualifying round? Did he shoot like 630? Was anybody in your?
He was close to 40 or.
I think he was
or
45.
Oh, so
above
those guys.
Yeah,
are,
he was the number 2 seed.
So the couple top guys down there are still shooting.
Oh yeah,
like wicked high.
Yeah, yeah.
I think his top three would have made men's open, like they were all 40s or above.
Yeah. Did the guy who beat you ended up winning, or did he lose to the ones?
I think he came in second. I think
he came in second. He actually
was the guy who won in your class the 1 seed.
No, it was that Kelly Weathersby actually.
Oh, Kelly Weathersby, an RBD-er.
RBD guy actually ended up winning.
I shoot the RBD. I met him for the first time. This past summer, he's like an ASA senior. I don't know if he shoots senior pro ASA, something like that.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a good shooter.
Yeah,
he is a decent shooter.
I've seen him wrong. I know what you're talking about.
But that was I thought for sure the guy you lost to on Saturday in your second match. I thought he was going to win it. I mean, that would have been back to back years for you.
Oh, after his first two matches, his first match he dropped 1. His second match he dropped against me. He dropped 2. So So,
but then after that, it was a little bit of a struggle for him.
His next one, his next match was a 126.
I think,
which is what I had shot against him.
So I was like, yeah, but I think in his block, you were his hardest match.
Yeah,
it's like I was telling you, everybody's got one hard game, and I think you two, respectively, against each other. Like, the winner of that, I would have assumed, could have made it to the top. What are they taking?
Four?
You had a good shot at that, because I think you were each other's hardest match.
Right.
I think he was probably more focused to shoot against you that round than he was against the first guy, or than he was against any other guy, because I think you were the highest seed he probably had to knock off.
Right.
And so it doesn't surprise me that he shot his best match against you, because it had to be, or else he probably would have not have made it. You know what I mean? It's like I was telling Eli, the kid that I wasn't tracking all of your matches, but at some point, I mean, you were the one seed, so you weren't going to shoot anybody higher than you. But I bet you had to shoot maybe like someone in the top 10 before you got to the end, right?
I'd have to shoot. So, yeah, to make the stage, I would that'd be the one that cut the eight, so it'd be 1-8. So,
So that kid, so at some point, you had to shoot in that round of 64 to 32 to 16, then to eight. At some point in those three prior matches, you had to shoot someone in the top 10, probably, right? Like, that would have been someone 1 through 10 or 1 through 15.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because that kid that you ended up beating at the end there, you were his match, right? Before, yeah, but you were the one seed, right? But he had I think he qualified, he was like 45th or 47th. So he was shooting people more even to him until he got to you, right? But I bet you at some point, and probably in the beginning, or maybe the second round, you probably shot someone that was another high qualifier, right? I bet you if we went back and looked at the bracket, you would have shot someone probably in the top 15, and that would have been your match, right? Like, that would have been...
I'm on...
What were your matches like? I mean, did you...
My matches were not... I went to bed Friday night kind of like I was going to walk in there Saturday morning and just... roll. And starting with my first match, I dropped my first arrow and then shot a 131, but the guy wouldn't go away. And then my second match, the guy wouldn't go away. And then the third match, I won it in the last step.
So
I had to work my
everybody shot their best round against you, because you were their hardest match every straight down.
Yeah.
But you shot 131.
130.
Yeah, so you had
128.
So you had you had high matches. I mean, so the one match you could afford a little wiggle room was against that last kid, who was probably the lowest seed you faced all day.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like you blew a 128 against a guy that was going to shoot a 131 against you, right? So you shot at or exceeded the level of your competition on every end, which is
Like, the environment in that last match was, I mean, going into, that last match, I was fired up. I mean, that's something I feel like, I like that match play. Like, I don't know, everyone sees me walk around with my headphones on. And I kind of put myself in, a space of my own, I get myself fired up. I'm, almost like a boxer or a wrestler or something like that.
I
get myself fired up to go out there and shoot.
What were you listening to?
Yes, what are you listening to? That's the question.
I mean,
we all want to listen to that. What is it?
Well, we can't play anything. I didn't know what he had on. I thought he had kind of weird earmuffs. I was like, yeah, it's cold out there, Eli, but I mean, it's not that cold here.
I mean, I have a, I'll tell you. I've got 476 songs of rap music.
Oh, so yeah, you got a lot of stuff going on here, man.
Yeah.
And you listen to that right up to match play.
Right, even in my practice ends, I wear my headphones on my hat, and when I go down to pull arrows, I put them on.
I've seen the hat you were wearing. That's from the school? That's the hat that all the kids get at school. That's a nice hat. I thought that was a pretty sweet hat. I was like, eh. I didn't see any of the kids wearing them hats, but I didn't see many of the Penn Tech kids down there until probably later, right? Saturday. They came down. They probably came down as we were leaving.
Yeah, I mean, Friday, most of them there, what was there.
Well, like Jared, I know. I mean, Jared, or he's at where Bridget's at, down in Kentucky. But, I mean, I've known Jared for a long time. In fact, I think I've shot against him down there at one point in one of them bracket matches. He's been down there shooting that stuff for a long time. He used to work up. Does he still, or used to work down there?
He did. When he worked there... that kid's been through a lot with me. When he lived down there, I mean, we pretty much lived and trained together.
How much older than you is he?
Probably 5 or 6 years older than I am.
So he's in his early 20s, like 20. So he's got to be a senior down there, probably. He's getting close. He's a good kid. I mean, like I said, I've known him. I only know him through shooting down there. But, I mean, every year I'm down there, I spend some time talking to him. Yeah, I mean, so, like, you know, the qualifiers are the qualifiers. I mean, like, everybody goes down there and wants to do some kind of crazy, you know. It's like the four of us here all come from the same place, right? I'd imagine the odds are in one of our favors to have a weekend. You know what I mean? Like I always will tell guys, are you the best shooter in your shop? The best shooter in your shop is probably going to make the gun. Well, Eli's been shooting the best out of here for sure, right? And he went down here. And he had his weekend down there and you know, made his name, right? I mean, people remember the year Eli was the one seed down there. I mean, and whatever. I mean, you shot good. I mean, it is, other than Brad Baker, who is an anomaly of, you know, whatever. You said he was on there five times on the stage down there. You know, to even make it down there once is something. And, you know, like, you're a kid still. Like I said, I would never bet against you not to be on there. I mean, who knows? Next year, if you're going to shoot in the championship class or whatever. Those brackets are such a roll of the dice. That's why I think elimination is so stressful, because I think anything can happen in brackets. So I always think, like, well, all you got to do is slip into them brackets, and who knows what's going to happen. But you got to get to the brackets. So the qualifiers are like the highest stress level that I normally have during shooting, because you have to get to Saturday, right? And then once Saturday happens, who knows?
Yeah, but you can't win the tournament on Friday during qualifying, but you can sure lose a tournament qualifying.
Yep. The last few years, I've invented ways to lose that thing on Fridays, that's for sure. I mean, it's a hard... It's a hard tournament to go to, because when you talk to a lot of people down there, they'll always just go, oh, it's Lancaster. It's like, yeah, I guess, but it's still just putting holes in paper. You know, like, no matter how much you're practicing for it, or, I was like talking to Katie Bordwell, and Katie didn't make the cut, I don't think, right? Nope. And that was her thing. She's like, it's weird down here. And I go, it is weird, but I don't know why it's weird. You know, like, I was honestly surprised that I saw you struggle down there. Because I thought Dalton is going to go down there and, like, maybe have a year where he's at the cut line or just below it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of them deals where if you're uncomfortable on your bail, or you're just kind of any small thing that sets you, like, kind of off kilter down there, It steamrolls into your shooting faster than anything I've ever seen in my life. Like, the fact that you went down there and shot your average is something to be said, really, honestly. Because, like you were saying, you said every year I go down there, I never shoot good. You know, and I told you, every year I've ever been down there, I shot good, but I was due for a stinker. Like, I knew at some point the wheels are going to fall off, right? At some time, it gets to everybody down there, and you just, for whatever reason, it's like, I like the guys on my bail. They made it a little weird because there were some kids that I didn't think knew, you know, weren't like familiar with everything. So that kind of gets a little weird, but it's still just shooting a piece of paper, right? You know, and it's crazy how one thing can set your mind weird.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it is. I struggled this year down at Lancaster. Really, the last 2 years I've been down there, I haven't made the cut, but I've done a lot better. And, I mean, 2 years ago was my first year, so chalk it up to whatever. But
well, I mean, look, it's a lot of the guys down here, right? I mean, we have a pile of guys that shoot here at Lee that went down that have expectations of making the cut. But at the end of the day, still, they're taking 64 dudes in that men's open. And that's 64 dudes coming in from a long ways off, and they're all their top guys. It's like sending 64 Elis around. All right, go ahead. You know, if every shot's got an Eli, they're going down there. It's like, all right, that's who's probably going to end up, you know. I mean, guys have good weekends down there, but it is – it's hard, but it's still my most – like
a cushion, right? I feel like because I feel like I am better than what the lowest guys, you know, like, I don't know, it's probably where I put myself, right? But I feel like I have a little cushion of where my worst shooting, I feel like can still possibly get me in there, right? Even an off day, I can still make that cut, if that makes sense.
In the Masters,
look, it's hard for me to get the top, because I'm never going to get probably the top guys down there, but I feel like I'm easily in the middle of that cut,
yeah.
So I feel like I have a little less pressure. Look, I went down there in an open before, and knowing that I have to shoot my absolute best, even just to possibly sniff the cut, right? Even to get that 64 spot, I have to shoot my very best day down there, so it's hard. It is hard.
And I think the wheels can come unglued.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. I think you would have to go through a catastrophic failure.
Right.
Because you shoot well enough where you're always going to be above the bottom of that cut line in Masters. And there's really good shooters in there, but you're always going to be to the middle to the top of that class.
Right.
You know what I mean? And which is where you've fallen in the last two seasons, yeah. Right? Like, you're, yeah, like in that top 15-ish
right.
kind of yep. area. Yep. So I think probably the comfort level of knowing that you do have such a large right. window.
Yeah, it's less pressure. Less pressure.
Yeah, because like when you know you got to shoot a 640, 640 is lofty shoot. We shoot a lot, right? So maybe we can throw a 640 around like it's like, oh, whatever, you know. People want to slit their wrists and shoot a 640. Dude, 640 is salty. That's 20 misses of the 11.
Yeah.
If you cut it down to 60 shots, right? That's top quality archery. And to think that you're going to go down there and that's going to be the cut.
And there's another example too, right? Like you guys, like I can count up as I'm counting, right? I can count 600 and say I got to get 20 X's is all, and I'm in.
Yeah.
Right. You guys are counting down. You guys are saying I can't miss. Well, that you shoot X 10 10 like you said, I just dropped two. I'm down two more now. I can't keep dropping. Like I'm bleeding points. He's
mental, right? Like I don't know how you look at it, but that's how I. Even if I try to force myself to not do it this way, it's hard for me to not start going, okay, there's two. I can only miss this many more. There's four. Like, there's right. seven.
Right.
Right? Well, I got to stop the bleeding because if I don't stop
right.
it, you know, things are going to get...
You throw three tens down there that are just off the X and it's...
You're done.
League night, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other night or down there, though, it's
you're done.
Yeah, you're dropping points like.
You have to think that way, though. You have like there's no bottom line. I mean, anytime, especially there, I mean, you're getting when an X is an 11. Every time you do shoot a 10, there is someone in your division that did shoot an 11 on that.
That's a 33.
Yeah, it's a 33. Yeah, so every time you do drop an X, you are giving at least a point. To someone out there.
The margins have become so slim down there in that men's open class. It's the biggest class, I think, other than probably Barebow or...
No, I think it's the biggest. I mean, it's not even close, I don't think.
And there's so many good competitors in that class, right? I mean, there's so many guys that are vying for that top 64 because when you start looking below the cut... There's a million dudes who missed that cut by one point.
By one?
You know what I mean? Like, just one. It's not like there's the cut and then there's this gap of guys who can't get anywhere near the cut. No, there's another 40 guys that missed the cut by maybe one end.
Right, and there you go. And there's what Eli's just saying. you missed that X and someone else got that X, and guess what? You got a whole list of guys just waiting to jump up in there. Take your spot.
It's just the I feel like for me, it's just like kind of a it's a hard way for me to focus counting down like that, because I don't want to get into like kind of a negative mentality of minus one. I'd rather be like you, where it's like, all right, there's two, there's three more, there's, you know, I mean, but I'm kind of a dummy, so my math kind of gets clouded after five or six hands of counting up maybe past 10 or 15, right? So, but I feel like that's a more positive way to look at your scoring. But to your point, Eli, that's how you have to look at it in that class. Like, the pro guys, that's how they absolutely look at it. Boom. If they're down three, they're probably thinking like, like, I got three more or six more maybe to lose, right? What was the cut in championship this year? 49? 48?
I think it was 48.
It was 48. Lower than I thought, because I remember thinking in the beginning, I thought I saw Levi shot a 45, and I thought he was going to be way out, and he just finished just out. Like, he was, like, just towards the bottom of the cut line. So, you know, I don't think there was a lot of guys that were between Levi and the cut, so the cut probably went from 48 right to maybe 46 or 45 or something like that. But, you know, those guys are fun to watch during those. Their head-to-head matchups are insane. It's like every...
It's luck of the draw, really. I mean, at that point, I mean, there's three guys that shoot 660s, and the only one that survives Saturday is Sluzar. Right, Mateus Fullerton and Bodie go down to two people that I don't think anyone would have ever picked going into Saturday.
I think Capper's got them both.
No,
Capper's definitely got Mateus.
He got Mateus. He didn't get Bodie. Lost to
the kid in a shootoff. The tall.
Oh, Jesnick. Jesnick
got Bodie.
Yeah, they lost in there close to the center.
Yeah.
Right, they lost in that shootoff
after 132s.
Yeah, I mean. That class is a buzzsaw. You know, like, you know, I mean, think about just the people that we know personally that are like Glennie and Louie and these guys, and they're all top. It's like, how's Louie not gonna maybe make it through? You know, it's like I've seen that guy come down here and do crazy stuff, right? And it's like, well, I don't know, because there's a pile of Louies out there. There's a pile of dudes that are coming in from all over the place that are just, you know, you had mentioned it after the top eight had been set. I don't want to downplay the guys that were in the eight, but there was a mix of dudes that I don't think I would have handpicked the guys. I mean, there was some like Perkins was in there.
Yeah, sure. But
Dave Cousins figures out a way to roll into that thing every single time by hook or by crook. It's like that dude knows every kind of, he kind of reminds me of the old pitcher from Major League who's like, pulling the Vaseline off his shoulder and the stuff behind his ear, and somehow he shoots some kind of crazy qualifier, ends up in the top eight. You know what I mean? It's like, yep, I got in here somehow, and you guys are still wondering how I do it every single year, right? I mean, he'd be a tough one to ever bet against on being in the top.
But they even mentioned that actually Sunday in the broadcast about that they wouldn't have picked majority of these top eight guys in the Open Pro.
Oh, did they say that?
Yeah, they openly admitted it. They were like, you know, there's a lot of guys in here that there's nothing against them, but I wouldn't have bet on them being here.
I thought it was weird. I didn't think of it until you had mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, I guess if I'm looking at these dudes.
To look at the whole overall list.
Right. To look at the guys that qualify in Open Pro, and then you look at those top eight, it's like, okay, so who do I think I would have bet money on? It's like Sluzar, sure. Perkins, yes. You can't bet against Dave Cousins, right? But outside of that, it was like James Lutz and Ronald Deason and like people that I just don't see in the top eight normally.
I thought it was a odd mix. Maybe we think it's odd because like some of the absolute people we thought would, like just the faces that are all with Bodie. When's the last time Bodie missed it? Like never, I don't think.
Right.
Turn pro, right? Mateus, as good as he's shooting, I mean, he's shooting better than anybody on the planet right now, right? So to not see him there.
Stefan Hansen, after his dominant performance last year, right?
It was just a little bit of a different, whatever, but to anybody in that class can do it, and that's the thing, right? Like, you just, those guys shoot their little dots, every day, hundreds of times a day, and that's all they do. So it's to think that any of them can't just go down there and make a run through three other guys and make it to the top eight is probably a little bit of, like you said, luck of the draw. I don't know who everybody's draw is. You know, yeah. I would argue that it's probably more stressing in, like, maybe men's open when there is such a wild card. You know, the guys' scores are so varied, right? Like, you get a guy that might qualify poorly, but maybe has regularly shot really high scores, and you're going to come across him as maybe a one seed like Eli, maybe, and you're thinking, what's this dude doing sitting at 45th? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or something like that. I mean, so it kind of gets, I can see how that, you know, like when you're in 45th guy or the 64th guy in the men's pro championship class is still shooting a, you know, 50, 49, whatever, right? I mean, so you're thinking, those guys are.
And another thing, right? If you look at the, it would have been what? It would have been Fullerton versus 64 in the Open Pro. I don't know what that scored, right? But even though he's a 64th Open Pro guy, he probably can put up a 132 blind. Right?
EB, like, the year he made it as 64, and he drew Bodie, and he had him at the turn.
Yeah.
And he, like, to this day, he will still be like, I had that kid. Like, I had him. You know what I mean? Like, I had him at the turn. I had him at the turn. Right? And I think that was probably one of the years that Bodie had won it. But that's what makes that, that's what makes it tough down. Right, I mean, that's unlike any...
It's your 12 best darts.
And, like, I look forward to that tournament every year, and the second it's done, I'm glad it's over. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to move on to something else. But it's still my most fun weekend of the season, just because it's like all of us are down there, and you meet all of, like, you know... I don't get to... This is the first time I get out to get to see everybody else that I see all the time. I mean, you probably run across... more of the kids in college and whatever, but maybe not, right? I mean,
I mean, I'm not like a social butterfly, so I kind of
don't let it on, folks.
I didn't really socialize much that weekend. I kind of shot and would hang out in my hotel room.
But there's a bunch of guys down there, probably even for you, that you're just getting to see for the first time. You do spend all summer shooting all the USA stuff and all that, those things. I mean, so it's, you know, it's nice to get together, everybody, and then we all get the plague that I'm sure every other single person down there sounded like they ended up getting. I mean, I was like checking, like, Nick Kravitz taking all the pictures down here. He's like, I've been wadded up for 3 days, and all his comments were like, I've been sick. I'm going to the Bahamas to try to beat this, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like,
So Mosier, you lost your second match, right?
Yep.
And then Eli, obviously, you made it to Sunday.
Yeah, I got Sunday.
So walk us through how that went for you.
I got to Sunday. Like, that's cool. I don't have a lot to say because I got beat. I mean, that stinks. As a competitor, I feel like you have to go to every tournament wanting to win.
Expecting to win.
Expecting to win. That's a part of being a competitor. Losing is, it's not fun. But I got to look at it in hindsight. Yeah, I had the opportunity. I led the whole weekend. I went out there as the one seed. So, like, Sunday was very, like, oh, I got to sleep in, went practice, and I never made it there before, so I never got to, like, feel the pressure, but you could feel, like, literally the whole day, I could just, like, feel this, like, heavy air around me.
Like, you feel it in your ears.
Yeah.
Building.
Yeah, and then in the practice range back there, I kind of lost it, and... To Jared, I mean, that kid, I don't know how he did it, but he kept the mood light, like, the whole day.
That's what you gotta do.
Yeah, he kept the mood, like, he really kept me in it the whole day. And then if you watch where I walk out, I get about halfway out there, and then you can see it hits me to what I'm walking into. Because you come, like, so, you know, you're back there, you're behind this drape,
yep.
And they come back, and they're like, all right, we're ready for you. Then you gotta stand there for like 15 seconds in front. You know, they congratulate the person making it, like getting shoot against you. Then, and then you walk out for the first little bit, you don't see anything, and then it's like, boom. Uh-oh. And when it hit me, it was like, oh, bleep.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really, really good until I stepped up on there. And once I got on the stage, my legs just...
You know what will help with that? Put on about another 40 pounds. It'll steady it right out.
I've been trying for about 19 years.
Could you see a lot of the? Could you see a lot of the,
no.
Like the crowd?
You look through a tunnel.
So they have it lit. Because I remember that year I was up there. I remember like I couldn't. Because there's like I think well you were down there and there were some other friends. Like I was trying to like look out and see where people I knew might have been, and I couldn't. Like you could see maybe the front row just on the other side of like each aisle. But after that, it was like blue, like a bluish black haze.
Yeah.
Kinda. Like out in the rest of the crowd, right? Like
it goes like you can see those like the sponsor signs, and that's blue.
Yep.
And then anything past that is pitch.
Yeah,
black.
It's black. Yep. And you had Jared in the
Jared was in the box. Right? Yeah.
So he was a good call. Where was Dad sitting?
Directly.
Back?
Yeah.
Back? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So up there, and you know everything that goes on.
Yep.
Up there.
Yep.
And I remember drawing back on my first arrow. And I expected it to be like, everyone shoots a local tournament, makes it to the last guy, yep. Or you're the last guy at a local tournament. I kind of expected it to feel like that. It does not.
Yeah, it's a different deal.
I could feel my release hand, like, hitting my face. That was pretty... Yeah.
Did it get better by the last end?
Oh, or? it gets progressively worse. It doesn't get better. It doesn't get better. It's not a hostile environment, but it's not a comfortable environment. It's something that rush of adrenaline and something though, being up there. You love it.
Oh well, I mean that's everybody. Yeah. That's why people crumble down there.
Yeah,
because there's nothing they want more than to be up there feeling like they're going to throw up all over the stage.
I was dry heaving.
Yeah.
Like Friday, I finished my round. I walked back, gave my dad high five, gave my buddies high five, found a trash can, puked.
The best.
Saturday, finished my matches. Saw you guys, the moment you guys walked away, found a trash can, puked. Back in that practice range, finished my last practice end, found that trash can, puked, walked out there, shot that match, got off the stage, found a trash can, puked.
The flu must have been hitting you early then, maybe.
That wasn't the flu.
That was before you got the flu, yeah.
That wasn't the flu. This is the flu.
Well, I mean, the best part of that entire thing when you had everybody in the shop, because we were watching here and we were loaded up that day because it was a Sunday league day here, so everything stopped when you were gonna go up to shoot. So right out of the box, they come up and they're like, "So Eli, want to talk a little bit about your equipment?" And it comes, well, it's right on the tag. You can read it if you'd like. I left the tag on.
I told you guys.
And that's exactly what you said.
I told you guys when I bought that bow and I left the tags on, I told you guys, I don't know.
I don't think anybody here, when I told them, I said, Eli is going to tell them to read the tag and no one here believed that you would actually do it. And then when you said, well, it's right on the tag, feel free to glance it over, everybody in here just started.
The look on PJ Riley's face when I said that was priceless.
I don't think he's
priceless.
That was probably not a conversation.
I mean, he asked
ever
me.
Ever anticipated having before. You probably.
If you want to read, said, if you want to read the tags.
Hey, I got this bow on loan. I don't know what this is. I just picked this thing up the other day. I figured I shot it pretty good. So.
I'm not sure if I'm going to keep it.
If you want to read the tags, dude? Just read them. I mean, they're there.
Well, I mean...
No, I mean, for as nervous as you say you were, right? I mean, you still shot good in that match.
Oh, yeah.
And you lost by, what, one?
Well,
minus... if you wouldn't have missed the 12, obviously, right? But the 12 is a special...
Those 12s take a lot of... So, is this like the third or fourth year they've had them in? Maybe the third?
I thought it was the third, right? But you were down by 1 point before you went for that 12.
I really like those 12s, like, initially. And I don't know if I'm kind of just... They take... If you go for that 12 in that third round and you miss...
You're done.
And you're only down by one, you're done. They might. They could stop the match, right? I mean, like, we were watching some of the pros shoot, and it was like... They go for that 12 in the second end, and they were only down by one, and they missed and shoot a seven. It's like you might as well call the game, yeah. Right? I mean, it takes a little bit of the like anticipation, or like it takes a little bit of the like whatever, like the competitiveness out of the match
right off the bat,
right? I could see if you're going for it at the closer to the end. I mean, everybody's got their own strategy, so it becomes a strategy thing. But
right.
I just think. For me, it's like when you were watching, it's like, oh, all right, that guy's going to go for a 12, third arrow in the second round. Boom, seven. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, the other guy now just got to roll 10s or, you know, stay 11. So it becomes kind of a it's kind of anticlimactic in some of them matches. Now, when it comes down to where guys are just hammering 12s, that's exciting.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always play out that way. I don't think. You know, because then when you do miss, it makes a close match look further out than, like, further out of reach than what it actually was.
Which is the whole idea, right? All or nothing. You're gambling right there, all or nothing.
That's exactly.
You're going all in on one shot.
You're trying to, yeah, I mean, that's what
Yeah, because there's no recovery from that.
Watching it now, it becomes like, everybody always talks about ASA stuff and high risk, high reward. It is the ultimate, like, high risk, high reward type of gamble in this game now, because if you do miss, you're not going to get enough arrows to catch up to the other guy if you 11 out.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just not. And you could, right? You could miss a 12 on your third arrow thinking you need to do it, and then you could 11 out the rest and still lose the match by four.
Yeah.
Right, and it is the ultimate gamble,
right?
I mean, especially for that kind of high price, you know. What did you end up shoving in your pocket, if you don't mind me asking? I can't remember.
I got $2,500 from Lancaster and $200 from Easton, so $2,700.
Good for you,
kid.
Nice. Good job, man. Well, we were all like super proud and super excited, and all the deal. You know what I mean? Like, I wish had I not had 3 girls at home fresh from tonsil surgery, and my wife was going to skew me for staying down there one more day. There's no way I would have left down there. I would have stayed down there until the end. But I knew Jade, my leash with Jade had gone to about, like, my kids were cranky. They wanted dad home. And I thought, I better get home and pull a cavalry routine, or else I'd stay down there because, it was fun as hell to watch through the brackets and stuff. Even, you know, I'm spending my time running between you and him, right? It's like, all right, go over and see Steve. All right, I'm glad they put all the little scores up on the
flip cards
now, because now it's, all right, Steve's 65-65, we're going to go back over and...
because we could actually see your bail during the matchups from his, and so we were actually looking over all the crowd of people, and I was like, all right, Eli's at like a 98, the other guy's at a 96. I was like, all right, we're good, we can stay here.
What did you win your first match at?
I shot 126s by both my matches.
Yeah, so the other guy, the first match was close too, right? It must have been 126, 125, 126,
yeah,
124.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured it was close because I thought for a while you guys.
I think I won the first one by two.
Yeah, in the beginning.
But maybe one.
But it came down to your last end.
Yeah, it came down.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
In the beginning of that first match, I think you guys were like 65, 65, or 60.
I was.
Something.
He was up by one after the first two ends.
Yeah. It might have been 65-64.
And then my third end, I put 3 X's down there, and he, I don't know what shot.
I don't remember what he shot. But
so I was up by two going into the fourth end.
Yes.
I put the. I feel like I've put the most pressure on me on that third end, because I didn't want to go into that last end.
Well, the only three I was watching down there were you two and Jacob. I've known Jacob for a long time, and every time I walk over to Jacob, he was the only one of the three who would get done shooting and clear the entire, he'd walk all the way back behind all the chairs, and he was standing back there with Todd and his mom, and I would just look over, and he'd go, no, we're still good. He was kind of like, nah, we're good. Or at least he was even, right?
Yeah,
he was,
right.
He was still even with the guy he was shooting against.
Yeah, Saturday, I think probably it'd have to go down as probably one of the coolest moments of my archery career would be that last end when it was you three, Jared, there was a couple other people there, and I hit the first two. And that kid shot a 10, and I hear everybody behind me, yeah. And I was like, all right, you need one more. And I hit the one more, and I turn around, and you guys are, yeah. And all I can do is just start, like, pumping the fist. And
I will say.
It was awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Coming down the stretch, I did feel a little bit bad for that kid because I thought, this kid's got every card stacked.
Then he let down. Yeah. So he's being like we literally beat him
from a crowd standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, well, look.
Tell us about what you told that kid about how badly he wanted to make it to Sunday.
So, well, for those everyone up here, there's a guy by the name of Matt Bear. Well, Matt Bear has my number. I'm 0-6 against him, I think, right now.
0-6, a couple draws.
Like, yeah, never, like, never, just, we, I never can't pull it out. Yeah. So we get down to the bail, and the kid's like, man, he's like, dude, he's like, I really wanted it. And I looked at him dead in the eye, and I said, if your name is Matt Bear, I said, you would have got it, buddy.
Like, you just had the luck of the job.
I'm like, you weren't Matt.
So he may be changing his name next year?
I mean... Who knows? I don't think anything
one
can stop.
Maybe one year, maybe next year. Who knows? If Matt ever decides he wants to go down there ever again, he can go down. Now he's full-time fishing machine, so.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see him down there. Probably not. But.
No. Well, I want to congratulate you guys for, that was a hell of a weekend last weekend. I can't thank you guys enough for going down and kind of being part of the team. I have a hell of a lot of fun with you fellas down there for sure. So I'm definitely looking forward to the next little trip or whatever the hell it is we plan for wherever. I don't know. I'm not shooting anywhere. Oh, I'm going to Weavers. So end of this month, I'm going to go down to Weavers and shoot the Weavers Challenge. I don't know if you shoot that or not.
Yep, I'll be down there.
So you'll be down.
I'm going to go down there.
It's a two-day-ish kind of tournament, like where you qualify on different days during the week, and then they do their shoot-ups on Saturday. I'm not going to be able to make it down to their shoot-ups, but they're a sponsor of the RBD, so I definitely want to go down there and like see Keith, and he's a really good dude, and thank him for sponsoring and go down and shoot in his event. It's a good event. I mean, like they get some pretty good shoot. I'll probably see Jasper and them guys down there, but I'm going to go down and shoot that. That's the only kind of localish thing I got coming up right now. Beast of the East, maybe in March. We haven't determined if we're going to do that yet. There's not any kind of, there's no other like kind of indoor stuff that's really going on locally. I mean, are you going to indoor nationals?
Yes, I got IWS and Indoor World Series Chicago, NFA Indoor Nats, USA Archery Indoor Nats. And then after that would probably be Vegas.
Yeah.
And then it'd go probably go Arizona Cup. And then
you
start, USATs.
You start all your outside stuff after.
Yeah. And then I'm going to mix a couple ASAs in there for sure. Going to go to London definitely.
What are you going to shoot in? What are you guys going to shoot in? You going to shoot in the Known Pro?
No, probably K50. K50?
Dude, that class is just as hard as any other class, though, right? Like you get those guys that shoot K50, they're freaking tack drivers. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what else is coming up. Oh, maybe Ike's, Laredo's shoot. That'll be fun. I know, I'm looking forward to that. I don't know when he puts that schedule out, but that's one that we always do. But I guess we'll just kind of finish out league and whatever. Keep everybody updated on the next thing we go to. So, all right. We're out. See you later. All right, that was a wrap for episode 3. Just wanted to take a little bit of time to here at the end to talk about a few of our sponsors for 2025. So we are very grateful to have sponsors, a few manufacturers this year, like Hoyt, PSE, and Darton Archery. They're all bows that we carry here at Ram Archery. They've been great supporters of ours for quite a few years, particularly Hoyt and PSE. They've been with us since the very beginning. So I can't thank them enough. Darton has been with us the last 2 seasons. I mean, it's great to get manufacturers on board like that. I can't thank everybody, Gus and Lonnie and Randy at Darton for everything they do for us, for sure. So what we're going to do differently this year that we haven't done in the past is each leg is going to be brought to you exclusively by one of our 3 manufacturer sponsors, right? So the first leg here at Ram Archery is going to be brought to you by Hoyt. We'll be giving a Hoyt away at that leg. The second leg is going to be brought to you by PSE Archery. I'm hoping to get the vendors there, get a booth set up so people can come out and try those bows. I mean, third leg is going to be sponsored by Darton. We're going to be doing a Darton bow at that leg. So we're going to be giving a bow away at each leg. You have to be in attendance. You have to attend that weekend's event to win the bow. We're going to draw somebody's name from the weekend's attendance that's there. So then again, I can't thank them enough. I mean, you know, Hoyt, those new Concept X's are great bows. We got a couple of them here in the shop. Just put in an order for a few of them. I think guys are really going to like them. PSE, I mean, I can't talk enough about them because I've been shooting them for the last 12 years. A lot of the guys here in the shop run them. Those duos are fabulous. Those lasers are also fantastic, and that's what we're going to be giving away as a laser. For the price you pay for a laser and the things you can do with that bow is absolutely incredible. And Darton is back for our 2nd year. I'm not sure what they're going to be doing for us as far as the bow goes, but I mean, those are great bows. I mean, you can watch the top pros are running those bows. Everywhere you look, there's somebody else running it with a Darton jersey. So it's really exciting to have all 3 of those manufacturers on board, and I can't wait to get the word out there on what we're going to be doing at each leg for each one of those sponsors. So once again, it'll be the first leg is going to be brought to you by Hoyt Archery here at Ram Archery. We're going to be doing the Hoyt Early Bird, which is something that we've done every single year. The second leg is going to be brought to you by PSE at Keystone. We're going to be giving away a PSE laser at that second leg. Hopefully we'll be able to get a vending booth set up there too. And then the third leg, I think we're also going to have a Darton rep there, and we're going to have Darton bows there for you guys to view. The third leg will be brought to you by Darton Archery, and we'll be doing a Darton bow there along with, we're going to have a novelty shoot for a Darton there as well too. So, I can't thank those sponsors enough, and I can't wait for the season to start.